Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's Tay Show is going to be given by two people. One is my friend Alan Geddes, and the other person is going to be me. And the Tay Show, a lot of it is going to come from the book that Alan and I wrote, Embracing Life as It Is. And so a lot of it is drawn from that book. So what I'm going to talk about, certainly a part of him as well. So try to imagine the two of us sitting together here today. The only thing is that while I'm giving this talk, I imagine he's up in Cape Cod with a cup of coffee and the New York Times sitting in the kitchen while I'm sitting here with the work, the heavy work of giving a Tay Show. So to begin, I think I've told this story before, but it relates to this, so I'm going to tell it again. Many years ago, when I was a student of Roshi Kennedy, I had a friend, and she had set up an altar and a little place to sit in her basement. And so she would sit there daily. And one day, she was, I don't remember where, but she came across these beautiful lilies. And so she bought them. It was like she was called to buy these lilies. And so she brought them and brought them home and placed them in a vase on her altar. And so as it started out, each morning when she would come down, she would be touched by the beauty of these flowers on her altar. And then slowly as the days passed, the beautiful lilies started to get more and more limp and the beautiful vibrant colors started to fade and they kept changing until it got to a certain point where the petals of the lilies started to fall off. And eventually, everything turned brown, and it was just laying there. It had lost all its life. So at some point, she went to see Roshi in Daisan, and she told him about how sad it was for her that these beautiful lilies could over time fade, drop, and turn brown. So they were full of life, and then they were dead. So he told her, this is your first koan. I want you to tell me, what is the difference between life and death? So almost every time I give a Tay Show, somehow the mind plays a part in whatever aspect I talk about. So if we think about how much our life is limited, should say, think about how much our life is limited by our thoughts and by our ideas. Pushing away some things and some people and paying attention to others. The mind creates young as beautiful and old as ugly. Bright, shiny, and perfect are desirable. Flawed, broken, imperfect, we consider undesirable. Things that should not be cracked, rusted, or worn. We won't accept them in that state. So there was a Japanese woman, and her name was Chiono, and she had studied Zen for many years, and she lived in a hut, and nearby the hut was a stream. And every morning she would take this pail that she had and walk down to the stream and drop it in the water and bring it back to her hut, and that's how she provided her water on a daily basis. And she wrote a poem, which is about the day that she became enlightened. And this is the poem. In this way and that, I tried to save the old pail, since the bamboo strip was weakening and about to break. Until at last, the bottom fell out. No more water in the pail, no more moon in the water. So we can use all our wealth, skills, knowledge, resources to try and keep the bucket together. But the bottom keeps falling out over and over and over again. That's our life. It's a fact of life that there is no perfect bucket. All things are impermanent and incomplete. And this is the way things are, no matter how much our mind wishes it were otherwise. So this is our life, seen through the lens of wabi-sabi. It's the appreciation of things that are impermanent, imperfect, and incomplete. And it's the acceptance of life as it is, we realize that we are no less valuable, lovable, or beautiful as the result of our own decomposition. Wabi-sabi is about objects, people, you and me, all worn through use and the passage of time. There is a Japanese architect named Tadao Ando, and he said, through wabi-sabi, we learn to embrace liver spots, rust, and frayed edges, and the march of time that they represent. Allen, in the book, wrote, now in my 70s, I grow shorter, more asymmetrical, and many scars and markings are a part of the story of my life. And there's an Irish proverb, which many of you, I'm sure, have heard, and it is, the older the fiddler, the sweeter the tune. Accepting our impermanence really is loving ourselves unconditionally. We are grateful for life instead of feeling aversion towards some aspects of it and not toward other aspects. It's completely accepting our life. About a month ago, I was looking in the magazine and I came across a photograph that was stunning. It was of an old lady, an old Russian lady, who was wearing a babushka, which those of you who are younger, it's a cloth thing that you wear over your head and tie it below, just below your neck. It's like a scarf. And so this old Russian lady was wearing a babushka and she was sitting on an old broken down wooden bench. And she had on a well-worn house coat. And her hands and her face were deeply wrinkled. And she had the look of someone who had lived a hard life. And I instantly, when I looked at this photo for a few seconds, I fell in love with her. She was just so beautiful. And I thought also that this is probably not the reaction I would have had in my younger days, even if I had stopped to look at the picture. So as we cultivate a wabi-sabi mind, we honor aging and our unique quirks and idiosyncrasies. We accept that we and the world are perfectly imperfect. Now, to accept fully, I think all of you probably know this, requires being open and vulnerable, not turning away, not clinging to life and pushing away death. And dying is one of the most beautiful expression, the most difficult expressions of impermanence that we can face. And if we have ever been present to someone who was dying, we may have come to see that death is not in opposition to life, that even death has its own beauty, which has often been talked about by contemplative care workers and hospice workers. And they will talk about how poignant and how spiritual dying can be, and that the experience can be even difficult to describe. And this is a profound acceptance of the impermanence of life on the part of both the dying one and the caretaker. It's bearing witness to life and death. Now, I know as I'm saying this, that probably each and every one of you can probably think of somebody who has died a horrific death with pain and all the other awful things that can go by that can be part of someone's death. But this too is just life as it is, right? Sometimes permanence is an expression of extreme pain, extreme difficulty. And so what I'm saying isn't to glorify anything. I'm just trying to convey that there are other ways to see our lives and our deaths, which doesn't mean that we paint a happy face on every experience of impermanence that we have. So Leonard Cohen, probably most of you are familiar with this, wrote, ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. Imperfection, impermanence, incompleteness are what gives life to life. So I had this idea, I haven't done it myself yet, but to take the photos, as many as you have, of yourself through your lifespan and sit with them and notice what your mind tells you, what comes up in your mind when you look at the pictures when you were young and when you were a teenager and in your 20s and you're getting married and so on. And just see how that affects you. So thank you for listening.